Hello, you're listening to Laser Graves, a podcast where we dig up movies, music, books, and events from the 80s and discuss how rad they were. Gargling to get ready.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was recording, so welcome to this week's episode of Laser Graves. I'm your co-host, DK Wimmer.
Hello, I'm Lord of the Dogs.
And Lord of the Dogs, we are on episode 25, and I can't believe it.
It's a shock.
It's gone by fast, but that's a lot of podcasting.
That's so much podcasting.
That's 25 podcastings.
That is 25 more podcastings than we had done before we started Laser Graves.
This week, we are talking about an interesting one. It's first time watch for both of us. Mm-hmm. I've heard about it a lot. I know the name really well, but I had no clue what it was.
You did?
Yeah, for sure. This name's come up a bunch of times. It's just kind of like cult cinema.
Wait, I don't even know the name. Hold on. It's two choices.
Okay.
Is it Vicious Lips or Luscious Lips?
What do you think?
Vicious.
You got it. You know the name of what we're talking about tonight.
Hey!
Congratulations.
I have degrees.
Yeah, we're talking about Vicious Lips from 1986. This is an interesting sci-fi musical, I guess. At least the beginning and the end are a musical. The middle is an odyssey lost in the desert. And maybe that's to enhance the lack of storytelling.
Well, it is 120 minutes. Nope, 140. 4 minutes?
Yeah, it's real short, but wow, it's a long, short film.
Yeah.
But we'll get into it. We'll talk about it.
Just know that if you watch it and you fall asleep, you're not alone.
Well, you were alone, but...
I'm definitely not the first person to fall asleep watching this
Definitely suspected you would fall asleep watching this.
How do we have a podcast when I fall asleep watching almost every movie?
You know what I thought about last week on Avenging Force? You, when I was giving you a hard time about not choosing any Chuck Norris, and you said, I will definitely fall asleep to all of those, I thought, well, you're going to fall asleep to anything I choose.
No, I've stayed awake through several.
Several is three or more.
Like, at least a pair.
Okay.
Maybe I should get to choose.
You always choose. I gave you the stack, and you chose Avenging Force and then fell asleep.
You choose the stack. Maybe I choose the snack. Nope, stack.
Okay, well, you can choose the snacks, too.
Yeah, hummus.
Well, before we get into this, I did want to bring up, I keep forgetting to say this because it's just something that is, I always think about afterwards, but... On a personal note, a film that I worked hard on, did the all the music for.
Oh, the Scooby-Doo movie.
The Scooby-Doo movie is about to come out. No. It's called Scooby-Doo and the Bermuda Triangle. You'll never see it because nobody knows where it went. No, I scored a feature documentary on scary stories to tell in the dark. And it took quite a long time to make, but I'm very proud of it. And... I'm hoping to have the film or the music for the film out on iTunes and Amazon pretty soon, but the documentary is finally out there. It had a limited run of theaters. I didn't get to see it in a theater, unfortunately, but it is now on streaming, video on demand and stuff. So it's on Amazon. It's on all those, like everything, iTunes, Google Play, all that stuff. And you just look up Scary Stories. It's a documentary on the three books. One of the most banned books in American history.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and it
was a lot. We will definitely cover that.
Yeah, we'll definitely cover an episode. I was thinking about saving it until maybe my my score comes out as kind of a tie-in. But it's available now to stream. So I'd love if you would watch it and then you could even, you know, give it a review or rate it or something like that. But it was a labor of love for a very small crew. It was only a few of us. Mm-hmm. And the director, Cody, worked like 5 years by himself on it for the most part. And so for him to achieve it is really a success.
It's had some great reviews and some big magazines, I guess, they're online articles.
Yeah, it's going great. And there's some fun interviews. R.L. Stein's in there. I mean, it's great. But check it out. And then it will be available on DVD everywhere in July. And I'll update you guys on that too. But
well, I
always forget to talk about personal things. But so Scary Stories, go check it out. All right, well, thrift store finds, do you have anything?
Wait, you didn't ask me about my work-related stuff.
Okay, yes, sorry. Well, you've never once done a personal update, but apparently you're going
to. Yeah,
okay.
Well, here we go.
What's up?
I submitted final grades.
Okay, for?
Oh, I teach online classes adjunct, so super high profile.
Yeah, I'm glad. It's interesting that you were eager to bring this up.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I teach it. So I submitted final grades this week, and I can jump a little higher now.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yep.
Thrift store finds the week. Do you have anything this week?
I feel like you did.
Last week, it was a dress and a bottle for salad dressing.
Yeah, I haven't made salad dressing yet.
Okay. Do you have anything that can top last week's thrift store finds?
I do.
Okay.
You basically forced me to go thrifting today.
Reality are we in?
You were like, just so you know, Savers is having a major sale today.
That's not forcing you. That's just a gentle reminder that I got to notice that there was a sale and you were going to go downtown.
It's weird, though, because then you tied my hands to the steering wheel.
And I said, here's the directions. I wrote them on a note, put them in your mouth, and then I put a brick on the gas pedal and I just jumped out of the way.
It was weird.
Hoped for the best.
But
and
I made it.
You made it, so it worked.
I made it, and I went in and there was no sale, but...
There was a sale. You just didn't know about the sale.
No, I looked for signs and I asked, is there a sale?
Know. It's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and you say, I'm going to order something off the menu.
Well, the staff didn't know about this and they said, yeah, it's on Monday.
Yeah, well, they were wrong.
So it wasn't today. But I went through.
Okay.
I went through the store. I honestly was tempted to buy this. It was a clock and it was like two children praying and it said, God knows what time it is. But I didn't because it was kind of broken. So I did instead buy a little jacket for our dog, Chujin, from China.
Is that where that came from? Mm-hmm. The jacket's not from China. Our dog's from China.
I don't know. The jacket probably is too.
Aw, it's like a homecoming. Yeah.
And then I bought 4 wine glasses because I have broken all of our wine glasses. Not like, it makes it sound like I'm drinking
stumbling
a ton of
down
wine.
The stairs at night.
No, yeah. I keep, because I hate hand washing, so I keep putting the wine glasses in the dishwasher and then breaking them as I pull them out.
Yeah.
So I bought 4 new ones so I can break those in the dishwasher. And then I got Mad Libs.
Oh.
An ultimate pack of Mad Libs.
Oh, are they themed?
No, it's like best O Mad Libs.
Oh, it's not like Garfield Mad Libs.
No, and I stood there flipping through the Mad Libs to make sure that they weren't filled out and not a single one. It's like a vacant Mad Libs extravaganza. Well,
tuck those away for a road trip.
Exactly.
A way to prep.
We're headed north this summer.
You're like a prepper. Like instead of the end of the world, you're just prepping with Mad Libs for road trips.
Well, honestly, it is D-Day when you travel with
That's
two
true.
Children.
Yeah, it's kind of this. It's like a post-apocalyptic nightmare.
Yeah. So I did well today.
Good, good. Well, I'm sorry that I forced you to go.
To rehash, 4 wine glasses, 1 dog coat, almost like near miss with Jesus clock and Mad Libs.
Good. Good job.
Thank you. Yeah. I also saw a clown head that I almost bought for your mother.
Oh, interesting.
Because she collects clowns, not just because I'm torturing.
She used to like 20 years ago.
She still has a room of clowns.
It's true.
So.
I had a day to end all days today.
What?
I only went to one place, Savers, in a different city, though, because I was in a different location.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what was happening? A sale. The sale that I told you
did
about.
Did you get a note about a sale in a
yes,
different
on my
city?
Phone. I got
but
it.
Was it in... Did it say?
It said, attention, cool kids. So I went in. It was 50% off of all media. So I went to the VHS, which I normally don't find stuff here. It's kind of hit and miss. And I found quite a few cool films, some kind of more modern, like culty films, Dancer in the Dark with Bjork. Mm-hmm. I found that. I thought that was kind of cool.
I don't think I can watch that again.
I definitely can.
Deeply upsetting.
Yeah, but it's a strong one. And then just some other ones, some other random horrors. And then I found a copy of Halloween 2, a different cover that I've been looking for, so I was happy to find that. But the big one was the actual last one in the final row that I was looking at. I was just about to turn away, and it was like the find.
The find?
Oh, I texted you, and you're rarely excited.
I almost never care about VHS.
Yeah, but you were definitely, you got this one. And I was like, all right, she's still with me.
Yeah.
Slumber Party Massacre Part 3 on VHS, which is very rare. It's something I would never be able to afford normally.
Yeah.
And I found it for 50 cents.
I actually can take credit for your first viewing of Slumber Party Massacre 3.
Really?
Yes.
I was trying to think if I had seen that one today.
No. No, that's the pimple one with the screwdriver.
Is it?
I believe it is.
Oh, interesting.
Pimple head, drill, not screwdriver, like drill guitar.
No, that's 2.
Cramp.
Yeah. No, part 2's got the like honky tonk like
Oh, then what happens in 3? I don't care about 3.
I don't know if I've seen 3. That's the whole point. Was like I was really excited.
I thought it was a grill or drill guitar.
No, that's the cover part 2.
Maybe it's a grill guitar.
it's a Nelly, but he opens his mouth and it's a grill, but it's got little guitars on it.
Interesting, because I was visualizing not Nelly, but a grill, like a Guy Fieri and a grill.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Interesting that he's not Italian, but you said his name with an Italian accent. Okay.
Gee.
Well, that's our thrift store finds of the week. yeah, that's that. We could keep going. Let's talk about Vicious Lips.
Or Luscious Lips.
Or Luscious Lips. That sounds like a 90s girl band.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Like they'd play with L7.
Yeah. Vicious Lips has an absolutely killer 80s cover. It's like them in sci-fi gear pointing like ray guns on another planet. A scene that never happened, nor did they ever wear these costumes.
Nope.
Directed by Albert Pyun. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Pyun?
P-Y-U-N.
Yeah, somebody said I looked it up and they were like, not his best work, but still lots of TNA, which is weird because there wasn't.
There wasn't at all.
I know.
That was really weird. He has done some classics. Sword and Sorcerer, he did. That was like his first film. Cyborg with Jean-Claude Van Damme. But the one that I was excited about, he did Doll Man, the Full Moon Entertainment one. So I was
I don't think I've seen Doll Man.
You will, because I'm about to get it on Friday. So yeah, well, definitely we're going to have... Well, I don't even think that's 80s. I think that might be early 90s. Could be wrong. But no, he's got some good credits under his name.
Wait, I don't get to see it at all?
Well, we'll watch it. I'm just saying we can't cover it on the...
We can't discuss 90s stuff here.
No, don't even talk about it. Don't even look at it.
That decade doesn't exist. It
doesn't exist. Everything stopped in 1989.
I'm just going to bite my pillow.
It starts with an 80s jam. The opening credits, boy, this was like our opening credits. This was the same like font and glow and everything of Laser Graves.
Mm-hmm.
It was like as if we made a feature film. These would be our opening credits.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's as though we made our font based on 80s font.
What?
Isn't that weird?
No.
Yeah, but that's what
happened.
I like
that you're giving me credit for this, we.
Yeah, it's true.
You did it and said, hey, look what I did. And I was like, whoa, cool.
Cool.
Good job.
Anyway, yeah, so we get those credits and then...
Then there's a gel-covered guy. He's wearing shorts. And it's like he's buff, but not really. He's just like a normal dude, but he's got a lot of gel. So you're like, definitely he's strong. But I don't know why this matters at all, why we settle on him. He's got a medallion, and then he walks and leads us into the real scene. So he has no role.
Right.
But here we see at a table a woman named Maxine. She's got her legs up on the table, and she's sort of like, you know, Estelle from Friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what I thought
of. Wow, that's like a very random...
Joey! Like that.
Okay.
But not really with that accent, but with... It's a vibe. It's a vibe.
Speaking of vibes, I right away got the vamp vibe of the lighting.
Yeah.
It was all extreme lighting, and so I tried
to... It was a lot of, like, overhead lighting.
But it was all, like, pinks and greens and blues, and I thought... Same year or year after that, I wondered if it was the same lighting person, but I couldn't figure it out. But it could have just been that this was very trendy at the time, which is more likely.
So Maxine, she's smoking, and Oh, it's outside of a place called, do you remember? It's like the Radioactive Dream Club or something.
Yeah, I think it's Radioactive Dream. And we should mention that it's like on a moon or something like that.
It was unclear for sure at that point. But she says, or there's a discussion between her and another guy who's kneeling at the table next to her, that they're the band, some random band, has had a space accident and there's been a death. And there's a manager and he's begging for another chance. And she's like, no, not really. But she says no to him. And he's not going to be given another chance. He's like out of the managing gig. And apparently this is too much for him to not manage bands in space.
Yeah, well, can you blame him? Seems like a good gig.
Also, his acting is like top shelf.
Well, but Maxine also says, we need the spot filled for some gig, and it's whoever gets this gig has got a chance at becoming having intergalactic stardom. So we're getting the impression that whoever gets this gig is going to become like instantly intergalactically famous.
Yeah,
and so he's like,
that's kind of
okay,
a big
okay,
deal.
Okay. You know, give me another chance. I'll figure it out. And then that's when we flip to a talent show at a high school.
No, he kills himself before this. So he shoots himself in the head. And then we go to the talent show.
It's not the same manager?
No, it's a different guy. His name, the new guy's name is Asher. It's a different guy. Eyebrows guy kills himself.
Oh, I thought that guy was in the scene also.
She's like, no, you're out. And he's like...
Right. And then he turns a gun to himself and shoot. That's right.
But super fake. It's like pew.
Yeah.
And then he falls over.
That's right. Okay. And then we're at a talent show.
Yes. And there's a new manager, like a manager guy whose name is Asher. He's looking for a new singer for his band, Vicious, not Luscious, Vicious Lips.
Vicious Lips. And what happens is that we meet, we see on stage a young singer.
Like an ingenue.
Yeah, named Judy Jetson.
So creative.
Yeah, really creative. But she's cool.
She's like got a cute little top. She's got sort of a 50s style.
Yeah, she's pretty. She's
crazy,
like an 80s
babe. Crazy long ponytail.
80s babe with a cool voice, and she's like singing it up.
Did you not notice her voice? So she's like, my name's Judy Jetson.
Yeah, she has a very low voice. Yeah, I noticed that too. It's almost like
Nico. It's not her real voice though, dude.
Okay, well, whatever. I'm just talking about the character.
No. Let me tell you.
Not going to pick this apart for its reality checks.
Well, no, there's actually a reason. Do you know who the singer is?
No.
Ugh.
Judy Jetson.
No. I was wondering who the voice actor was.
Oh, I didn't even look any of that up.
I tried to find it.
Oh, which is, do tell.
No, I didn't find it.
Oh, well, then why'd you even bring it up?
Well, I bring it up because not in that first song, but in one of the others, she sounded like Jem's voice.
Interesting, because right here, or like shortly after, I mentioned this whole thing has a Jem's vibe to it.
So I couldn't find anything. And the girl who played the voice of Jem is well known and famous, and she didn't do it. But...
yeah, we'll have to do a follow-up
at
some
there's
point.
Like the girl whose voice is Jem from Jem and the Holograms. If you don't know, get a life,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, get a life.
Anyway, so her voice is very distinctive, and it sounded quite similar. And I was like, is that Jem? And I tried to find it.
Could be, or it could just be kind of like that 80s voice.
No, she's definitely like doing a similar thing. There's like a slight nasal quality. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
All right,
I don't
well, that's
think it's
who's
her.
Singing. And then we meet the manager, comes up and asks her after she gets off stage to join Vicious Lips, because what has happened is Vicious Lips in the alleyway, the lead singer's like... bitching and complaining, and then just walks off and gets hit by a car and is killed.
Yeah, that was a little unclear
really
as it
weird.
Happened.
But it happened fast, and so he instantly needs to replace her for this gig.
Yeah, no morning time. He goes into a high school talent show, finds her. She's actually laughed off the stage, but he's cool with it. And then she kind of like passes out. It's very weird. She just kind of falls over and there's like a fade, crossfade thing happening. And then suddenly she's in space, I guess.
Well, yeah. And so she's going to get the gig to come join Vicious Lips. And then he's like taking her to go meet the band. We go down a cool street scene with like mutants and stuff on the street.
Yes.
And we get this pre-Total Recall three boobs scene. Yeah.
I think there were more than three. I think it was a quadruple.
No, this one had three. Okay. But and it's not like Total Recall, and this wasn't the first either. I mean, it's maybe gone on. It's like a sci-fi thing.
Maybe that's what the person meant when there's plenty of TNA that like covers all of the
That's true. I didn't even think of that. Didn't even register because they were prosthetics. So, but that is
okay.
That's above and beyond.
Okay. More than enough.
That's 15%.
And then the manager decides instead of dealing with her name of Judy Jetson, he's just going to give her the name of the dead lead singer. Yeah. So she's going to be called Ace from now on, and she's okay with that.
Yeah.
And then, so she's meeting the band in like a dressing room, and at this point, somebody's like, there's a peeping Tom looking through an eye hole, and one of the band members reaches out and pulls out his eyeball.
No, that's not what happens.
I feel
she
confident.
She pokes his eye out, but, and he like grabs it.
But she doesn't poke it out, because he's holding it, so if you poke, it would go inward. Or like,
no, I think she poked and pulled and it like popped out and he grabbed it.
I mean, tomato, tomato. Anyway, his eye's out of his face and it's in his hands.
And the whole time there is the worst song playing. Some guy singing is dumb. And the vocals are so loud in the mix of the song. Mm-hmm. I could not take it. Which is interesting because I liked her song that she was singing at the talent show just fine. I wasn't bothered by that. But man, this song was rough. I couldn't wait for it to be over.
So it eventually ends, and then Judy, now known as Ace, gets a makeover. So she looks like a cute 50s girl, and then suddenly she's got like ratty 80s hair, but
that's
with like
so
a
gross.
It's like a bleached
wig.
Plop on top wig. It's like Susie's style, but with a bleach top instead of Susie Sue.
Yeah, and really natty.
Yeah.
It looks horrible.
It's, you know,
it's very 80s. Distracting.
Although if I saw that lady walking down the street, I'd be like, you're the coolest.
Yeah, that's true.
So she gets her makeover, and then we realize they're in a weird alien bar now. And there's like an alien construction worker and some other people just having drinks. And this is her audition. And apparently she already knows the lyrics.
No rehearsal or anything.
Nope.
She just knocks it out of the park and sings this killer 80s jam, which I really liked the song a lot.
It's great, yeah. Every song she performs is good.
So my impression of this whole scene was she's like Pat Benatar, but dressed as Jem. That's how I would explain her voice, her demeanor, but then her appearance. And especially in this scene, the band looks very Jem and the Holograms. They've got like, one of them has like a bright purple, I think, wig on. And
I think it's pink, but yeah.
Or something like that. But
it's like a triangle shape.
It's
like
cool.
A double tier triangle wig.
So when was Jem?
The 80s.
Well, duh. But like when in the 80s?
I don't know. Sometime. Okay. Well, I was a kid when I watched Jem, so I would guess like 85, between 85 and 89, but I don't actually know, and I don't have my phone to check.
Oh, I just figured you would know because you were a fan. But
no, I'm not like an obsessive researcher like you. I just know that it happened at a time.
Okay, well, because last week you were really quick on knowing the name of Three Ninjas' sequel.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know what year it came out.
I bet you could take a guess.
I mean, sometime between 86 and 93.
No. I can see it in your eyes that you're pretending.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway.
No.
I was just wondering if it predated Jem or not. They're performing this really cool song called Chain Reaction, and I liked it.
Yeah, it was cool.
I did like this.
Straight up by it.
They have futuristic guitars that look like the cross between like a laser flamethrower and a bug machine at the end.
I thought it was like a cross between a bug machine and an old-timey mic.
Like a bug zapper. Oh, yeah, I could see that too, like a 50s mic.
Yeah.
And they're playing it as though it's like cool futuristic guitars.
And there's also a girl playing a keyboard, but she's basically just waving her hands around.
Yeah, she looks really happy too.
So cool.
And then it's just so cool. I definitely would watch this band
constantly. Oh my goodness. Would you lose your mind if you went out to a club and saw that band perform?
I know what? Okay, like, so people who live in like New York or LA are probably like, yeah, they're everywhere. But for us, I have never seen a band that would be this committed to like being an awesome 80s band. This was like everything was right about it.
Yeah, we
imagine
live in the
this
desert.
Band. Do you remember on Get Crazy, the episode we did?
Get Crazy.
Remember Nada, that band? Imagine a doubleheader. Oh, yeah.
It's like a
Vicious Lips and Nada.
Dude, it's like a fantasy dream concert.
We should do a mixtape of songs from fake bands in 80s movies.
Holy crap.
I know. Okay.
Let's stop the podcast.
I know. I was just thinking,
right,
can we pause it and just do it?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so into this idea.
Yeah, I think I am, too. Okay.
Okay,
well, anyway, real life jam. They're having good time.
They're singing, but the manager, who's in really cool lighting, it's like red and green. Did you make note of that?
Well, I just noticed the whole lighting throughout the film.
It was really particularly fantastic here, but he's... while they're performing, he's talking to, what's her name, Maxine?
Yeah, and he's like, they have it. He knows they have it.
And so she's like, we'll fill the space, get here. And so they're going to go check out the or be in this show that needs a spot filled.
They get their big break, and Maxine's going to give them a show at the Radioactive Dream. And it's, so now the premise of the film is... get out of this club. We now have a new singer. We need to get on a spaceship and go to the Radioactive Dream for this show that is going to be, it's going to make you intergalactic stars.
Yeah. And the, so they get on a spaceship and there's some talk about like a weird killer on the spaceship who has killed 5,000 women.
Well, there's a flash to when they're going to get the spaceship. And they're like, here's the ship you can have, but just be aware that you can't go in the cargo bay in the back. It's locked because there's a maniac that's killed 5,000 women. And so, but you can use the ship. And they're like, whatever. Also, I love the futuristic sets that they're walking around on are so funny.
They're fantastic.
Here's what I thought. I was like, this is very, not full moon.
No.
But style of filmmaking. And then I looked it up, and uncredited executive producer, Charles Band, creator of Full Moon. And I was like, oh, I can kind of put my finger on that feel there. But
you've got your finger on the pulse.
So, yeah, they're taking this spaceship. Boy, the song playing during the ship, like they're exploring the spaceship running around. Mm-hmm. It's maybe the same singer as that other one.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I could do with a lot less of that. It's bad. It's really bad.
And then...
and I'm usually pretty forgiving.
So they wander around, and then they practice, which is good, because they just have a brand new singer, but they decide they're going to practice in space. You have something you want to add?
Yeah. Before that, we get a shot of the exterior space scene of the ship flying through space, and it is no joke. Somebody holding a model right off camera, like a little kid with an airplane going
like in
through
front
the
of
sky,
a
through a model of like a moon,
a poster with a picture of a moon.
It is perfect.
It's
I loved it.
Yeah, it's definitely intentional.
I'll say though, right about here, maybe shortly after this, is where the film drops big time.
This is a
strong first act.
Yes.
I was all in.
If you crunch together the first act and the last act and made a 22-minute movie, solid gold.
This would be really amazing.
But instead...
we'll get to it. Yeah. We'll get it to the end. Yeah, the rehearsing, I can't get over the hair at all. There's very there's a lot of emotional scenes with hair, and I can't stop looking at it. It's just so distracting.
They've all got large hair. Very well. There's the lead singer who's got like a Cooney.
Coon is right. It looks like something nested up there.
But
for
she's got this like beautiful little face too underneath it, and you're like, what happened to the top of your head?
She's got this like stylish look. She's got like the body, the face, the style, and then you just pan up to I don't know what's happening.
Whatever's happening up there.
But it is a mess.
I feel like she wasn't comfortable with it either.
No.
But anyway. And then there's another girl with, like, full Susie.
Yeah, and she's the, like, main member of the band.
She's
who's
mean.
The only one that has a problem with her. And she's, like, she has to earn... this new singer has to earn her way.
Yeah, they kind of develop some drama there, but I don't think it actually matters at any point.
Well, no, this film's called Vicious Lips. It doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, okay.
But then what we get to, the next, like, big scene is the manager who's flying the spaceship.
Wait. Hold on. I wanted to make an observation.
Okay.
So when they're practicing in space, I wondered if it was a Space Jam.
Oh, it's totally a Space Jam.
Okay, go ahead.
The manager is flying the spaceship, and he is not seeing that there's a warning signal going off.
Because he's too busy texting.
Yeah, exactly. We get a little bit of a kind of Spaceballs moment here, where the scene's like saying, something's coming. And then it says something stupid like, it's like, really bad.
Yeah.
And then
it's watch like, out, you're going to die.
Warning, you know, Will Rogers or something like that.
Oh, yeah. It's a Lost in Space reference.
Yeah, it's like trying to be funny. It's okay. I mean, it is what it is. But he doesn't pay attention because he's not checking his Instagram. He's looking at star maps that are literally stars. They're like...
pictures of stars.
I laughed out loud because it shows him going, oh, yeah, like he knows where he's going. But it's like somebody took a scene of the vast universe and then just cut it into a square.
Yep.
And all you see is tiny thousands of little white dots.
It's like you printed out a page of black and then poured some salt on it.
Yeah, and he's looking at him as though he knows where he's at. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, studying it. Yep. It was so funny.
So there was an asteroid. And then it was not a graceful transition to them crash landing into...
I'm pretty sure.
White Sands, New Mexico.
I'm almost positive it's right next to us. Yeah, I think it's got to be White Sands, especially because there's a shot later...
of the mountains.
Of the mountains that looks very much... And we just watched Tank Girl not too long ago that was shot in White Sands, too. Mm-hmm. And well, and I grew up right next to White Sands, so I think...
Also, look, guys, if you haven't been to White Sands, you need to go to there. Don't bother stopping at any towns. There's nothing to see.
There's nothing. Well, go maybe to... Roswell. Go to the Alien Museum. It's funny.
Okay. You're really overselling Roswell.
No, I'm really not.
Okay. Anyway, it was shot at White Sands. So they swerve to avoid an asteroid and apparently land at White Sands. And then there's... a person power posing in the sand?
Yeah, there's somebody in the distance. And then the girl with the Susie hair looks out the window and goes, I don't know where we are, man, but it ain't heaven.
No, it's not.
Yeah, good observation. And then Judy, so Judy Jetson sees somebody outside in the sand standing there with like hands on hip, Wonder Woman style.
Just posing.
And then she's like, there's somebody out there. And nobody believes her. Then the manager goes and looks and he's like, I got to call Maxine. We have to get to this gig, man. We have to get to this gig. But the communicator is fried. They go.
He's like looking for his bars.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking, no service here. I'm going to take a walkabout.
Well, that's before he even leaves. He goes into this like cockpit area.
Oh, yeah.
And the communicator is fried. So this manager cannot contact Maxine, and that's when he gets the bright idea to just leave.
There's also some talk about how the sun's stronger there.
Okay. But
it doesn't, I mean, whatever. Guys, it doesn't make sense.
This film's something special. Did you know, this is an interesting fun fact about it.
I don't know any fun facts.
It was never released on VHS.
How do we have it on VHS? Oh, don't. No, it's
this
on...
This is one of the first episodes
we've
done. Yeah,
we watched it.
Yeah, we did this on
Amazon.
Prime, and it's free on Prime. But it finally, in 2000 teens maybe, finally got put out on DVD for the first time in America. That's the first time it has ever been available.
I can see that. I can see somebody be like, well...
It got released in Australia.
Well,
but it's hard to find.
They're down under, so.
But I just was kind of shocked. I mean, I could definitely see why they wouldn't release it, but I thought that was interesting because it's pretty rare to come across a film that actually had like no release.
They just were like, "We're not going to make our money back. Like, we're not going to sink.
We cannot sell this film."
Yeah. So Asher is their manager. Mm-hmm. He goes to look for help. Then the weird monsters on the ship. He's like punching out a window. It's the
maniac
who's killed 5,000 women.
I don't know
women.
What it is, but it's like a mutant with long hair.
He's just got like vampire teeth.
Yeah, it's like a cave person with sharp teeth is the way I would describe it. But I don't know if it's male or female.
And I think it's a male. And basically he just punches around in the dark for the rest
of really,
the movie.
Yeah, he really, he got to have his own interpretation. He was very method actor right here. And then this is while they're getting futuristic high off of something, which is really funny.
Oh, yeah. Also, so the girl, Judy Jetson, Ace, is talking to the keyboard player who has the triangle hair. Mm-hmm. She says, I don't know why, but it made me laugh. You've got so much talent and so many neat looks.
That's true. Well, it's because the triangle hair, that was a wig, and she now had black short hair.
Mm-hmm.
And
she thought went she through was cool. A yeah. lot of hairstyles and was worried about crow's feet. I don't know why that matters when you're stranded on a dead planet, but she was worrying about it.
Definitely priorities.
With a maniac.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of the maniac, okay, so the score.
Mm-hmm.
There are, you know, in the 80s, on a keyboard, like a Casio keyboard, mm-hmm. you could press a button and it would do this, like, it was like an orchestra strike, and it'd be mm-hmm. like, chung, chung, chung. Like, I mm-hmm. wish I could do it. Oh, actually, through the magic of editing.
Do it.
This is what it sounded like.
Whoa!
Yeah, okay, so that is happening constantly in this scene, like... It's like somebody fell asleep and is just tapping it over and over.
Although,
it's so funny.
Honestly, if you are a maniac, you would press the orchestra button. Well,
but he's not pressing anything. It's the composer is just randomly going to town
but
on this button.
They're emoting maniac. You know what would be worse? If they'd done the Wham song. I can't do it. But okay. You know the Wham song that yeah. was on every demo.
Wake me up.
I don't know.
Before you go.
No, it was a different one.
Christmas time?
Okay, quit asking, because I'm not going to think of it. I'll think of it at 2 in the morning, and okay. I'll shake you awake.
Okay, to be determined. Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Okay,
so
Ace
the girls,
is high.
The girls get hammered.
Yeah.
Then there's a 5 minutes to cross cargo hold. It's just like... Basically them wandering on the ship while one of them tries to fix the computer.
It's so long. We're okay. Whether we're doing a good job or not, it's making it seem like it's entertaining. It's not. It is so long. Yeah. Although there is some real like incredible acting going on.
There are moments, but none of it makes sense. There is no logic to be found here.
No, the creature though, after all this banging and drama, realizes that underneath him, the floor was open, and so he just slips right out and escapes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could have done that a long time ago.
No biggie.
But he's out, so now we've got that plot going. And then we're back to the manager wandering in the desert, and two 80s babes...
Wearing, like, rags.
Yeah, come wandering through the desert at
These
him.
Were the power posers.
Yeah, and they take him away. Whatever.
He follows, yeah.
It was really 0 point to any of that.
Nope. It has
at
no
all.
Purpose.
You fell asleep. Right here.
I'd actually fallen asleep several times.
Oh, no, I know.
But
this was when you were like legit out.
I was like, what's happening? It's been so many minutes of the same stuff.
It was long. You missed drama about the band. That's about it.
I wrote there's a bunch of fighting
yep.
about making it to the show.
Then there is a psychedelic shower scene. We do mm-hmm. get this.
Making out with the rag girls, right?
No. One of the band members goes and takes
oh,
a shower
yeah, yeah.
and looks up and it's like... A yeah. futuristic shower.
I did see that.
I mean, it's not like gratuitous or anything. It's just a dumb shower scene. It's really funny. And then there's a girl fight. They get in a fight. One person pulls one out of the shower. They're all fighting, and then the maniac comes out. And now we get introduced to the maniac hunting them down. And for a long time, it's chasing them around the spaceship, the crashed spaceship.
But in that... Makes it sound more interesting.
Also,
than it actually was.
Ace's hair, like she pulled the wig off and threw it.
Oh yeah, that was good.
And then I was like, I wrote down finally that dumb like rat's nest is off her head.
And she just like slipped it off the top too.
Yeah, but
like,
then the very next scene, it's on
it
and she's running, and I'm like, oh yeah. man.
She was running. They cut the scene where she scooped it up and clipped it back on.
I'd like to think instead it climbed up the wall and was like, and then just like attacked her
yeah.
head again. And then the big moment, because this is very long and boring right here, is the ship
gosh.
Slides down the hill a little, which is the model going down a sand dune. and that's exactly what it is. It reminds me a lot of the little childhood films I made when I was 9 and 10. It's great. Then there's another fight chase scene between the lead and the killer, who looks like... once I finally got a good look at him with his like scraggly hair
mm-hmm.
and teeth... And his outfit,
mm-hmm.
I think his name's Adam Driver, who plays the new Star Wars. He was on Girls.
No. He's like our age.
No, but he's got the same. He looks like the character
from
Star Wars.
Oh, you're saying he looks like him, but it's not. You don't think it's actually him.
Oh, no, gosh, no. Okay. No, but he looks just like him. I was like, oh, it's him from Star Wars. Like,
oh, that's mean.
I'm going to do a side-by-side. Maybe I should do it on social media.
That's unkind.
Oh, we'll do a survey. We can do those, right? Yes, no?
No.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see your tune. You'll tune that fiddle up and be playing a new number pretty soon when you see these side by sides. Killer then smashes his head through a concrete wall. That was pretty funny.
Why didn't he do that in the first place when he was trying to break out?
And then it's just all really
weird.
There's
like more wandering through the desert by the manager. Then there's Judy, also known as Ace, and she's like with punk pirates.
Yeah, okay, so this shift's weird and it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Now there's like street thugs and some guy in a tux.
Yep. It's the guy, so we didn't mention him. The guy in the tux was also at the very, very, very beginning with Maxine and the guy who shot himself.
But it ends up being the killer. He morphs back into the killer.
Yes.
The guy in the tux was like an illusion.
Well, this is all an illusion.
Well,
or was it?
For this scene. And then Ace is a ghost and appears in front of Ace and is like waiting around. It's like a dream sequence almost.
Yep.
Really weird. And then the manager and the band are all zombies all of a sudden.
I didn't get that.
And
okay.
She passes out. And then we're at the radioactive dream.
Yeah, so she wakes up at the radioactive dream for the show.
Yeah, because they're like, wake up. Like, it was like all an illusion.
Yeah, and then there's a weird, like, aardvark kind of alien.
It's who's so funny.
But his snout only shifts, like, it swings left.
Mm-hmm.
Or right, I don't know. What way does it hang?
It's important.
It goes to one side as it introduces the band, and then the band plays the Ratta song, Lunar Madness.
Yeah, well, and that's the name of the Australian release, the VHS, is Lunar Madness.
Which also, now that you say that, several of the actresses slipped on an Aussie accent.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're like, we're American.
Well, I don't know if it was shot in Australia or anything, but there's definitely some Australian actresses in it.
It's got to be Australian, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Why didn't you look this up?
To be determined. Well, it was shot in California, most of it. Because when I looked up to see if it was White Sands, they only had one location, and it was like a downtown studio. There's no way that's not White Sands.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lunar Madness is the song they're performing. So, yeah, so it was basically like I couldn't tell if the whole crash was all an illusion.
Well,
dream sequence.
So they sing Lunar Madness for like 35 minutes.
Oh,
it's so long.
Yeah.
It's really good.
But
it's
brings
long.
You back into the film. It's like you could forget the whole middle.
Like the whole section, like from
I was like, all right, yeah,
where
yeah,
they played their first song.
I like this film, yeah.
Skip the like crash landing, go back to Lunar Madness. Like they just quickly made their trip to the radioactive dream. She plays Lunar Madness, and then it flashes back. And I said, as it was starting to flash, I said, don't tell me we're going to go all the way back to her like weird high school talent show. Sure enough, there we are. And she's laying on her back. Like having passed out at the talent show.
And it was all in her imagination.
She had lunar madness.
Oh, and we get the ending is a montage during the whole song, Lunar Madness, that goes on for two montages, by the way.
It's still going on.
But it's like
now.
A montage of cut scenes that they didn't use in the film. There's a
it's
lot of like.
It's just basically the film again
B-roll.
In
no,
different
like,
ways.
Yeah, it's like footage they didn't use.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, I know how to use it. Montage. And then they're like, dude, we still have so much more footage we didn't use. Mm-hmm. How about two montages? And this is all happening during one song.
During Lunar Madness.
So then montage two part is still happening while Lunar Madness is happening. And then the film just ends, and that's it.
That's what happened to us.
And that's Vicious Lips. And so here's my thoughts on it.
Tell me your thoughts. Tell me your thoughts.
I loved the first act. Was so much fun. It was like Gem and the Holograms, cheesy 80s sci-fi.
Yeah,
cool
I was
songs.
On board.
I was like, yes, so much potential.
Mm-hmm.
The middle act two, where they crash landed and had the killer, it was so boring.
Unnecessary.
Yeah, it was really, really slow and boring.
There but was then, no development of character and or plot.
But then the finale back at Radioactive Dream with the song was like, and she's really singing her heart out here too. It's cool.
She's really lip syncing her heart.
Yeah, I was like, man, this movie's awesome. And so when it was all said and done, maybe it's just because of the type of people we are. I really like this film a lot. I appreciate it for all it's worth. I had flashbacks to, well, maybe it was the second montage. I wasn't having flashbacks. I was just being beat over the head with what I had just watched for the last hour and a half. But the shot of like the spaceship, somebody holding a spaceship model flying through space, the wigs, the maniac running around with crazy teeth. It was all so cheesy and fun.
Yeah, I think that the way that we discussed it makes it sound like we don't like it, but I loved it. I loved also that it left me a little landing pad for a nap break, considering that I'm always exhausted.
Intermission on your own accord.
Didn't matter because I missed absolutely nothing. It's really great. It felt like an art student or something. Totally dug it. Would watch it again. Would recommend.
It's right up our alley. We rarely have films that are like, it made me feel like when we first started dating and we used to watch all these, not like trauma films, but and like Charles Band films, like these really cheesy, low budget ones.
Just super out there.
It's right up our alley. And so I felt good. And then when I realized like I can't track it down on VHS, which bums me out, but I just loved it so much. I have a surprise for you.
What? Did you make it?
No, I didn't make it because we don't own it. But I thought it would be fun. I looked up on eBay and you know what I found?
What?
Some random person. Well, there was a bunch and they were really expensive. But one person, I don't think they quite knew what they had, was selling an original 1986 poster with that cool illustration with them all in their costumes, pointing their guns.
Cool.
And I lowballed them. You can do like a... Yeah, we should put it in here for sure. You can do offers, and I gave him like even half of what he was asking for, which was nothing to begin with. And he right away was like, sure. Because I'm assuming he's had it for years. Because who in their right mind goes actively looking for Vicious Lips posters? But we are getting that bad boy, and it's an original poster, and I love the cover.
Yeah, it's cool.
It is so cool.
So, like, to kind of wrap it up, I think that when you talk about a movie in the way that we have, and it makes it sound like it's a bad movie, I mean, in the traditional sense, it really is bad. But I would say that the director, the writers, everybody involved are artists who had a vision.
They were having fun with it.
They were having fun. They were being super creative. Yeah. And they kind of got maybe lost in the exciting parts and forgot to build a solid framework. But, you know, as an artist, I totally get it. And I love it. I love seeing when creatives are in a process of learning. And I think it's so weird and so cool and really exciting and inspiring. So I totally dug it. I definitely fell asleep in the middle part, but I would happily fall asleep in the middle part again.
Oh, good to know. That's your review. That's your thumbs up. what I would say is, I looked up their credits and hardly anybody did any other films after this. This was kind of like their special little thing.
What about the lead?
No, I think she was only in a couple things.
Weird. She's so lovely.
Yeah. And so there's a lot going for it that I think that it was destined that we would like it because we're a sucker for, well, first off, 80s, obviously we have a podcast to it, but any kind of musical, like Space Odyssey, I'm kind of game for it for the most part. I was trying to think of other musicals because they're hit and miss. Some of them I'm really against, like, but some of them, I mean, there's the obvious, like, you know, Rocky Horror or something. But this is one that I would say, yeah, it's a kind of a musical, and I think that's why I liked it so much. It's not, you know, like Velvet Goldmine style musical, but it's really, it was fun. It was just fun. It reminded me of like a live action Gem and the Holograms almost. It felt like it in a way.
It's better than the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Oh, that was such a disappointment.
That broke my heart.
Yeah, that was
Juliette Lewis broke my heart there because I love her, and I was like, she signed off on this, so we're good.
Yeah.
I actually don't know her, so I don't know if I love her, but I feel like
I feel like that was an opportunity missed there.
Anyway, we don't need to dissect Jim the Holograms.
No, but this film, thumbs up. Thumbs up for me. I don't think anybody will really like it, but we loved it.
I really think everybody
would like
this
is the type of
like
stuff
it.
I want to watch.
Yeah.
All game for it.
Let's do more.
Okay, well, there you go. That's Vicious Lips. You can check it out on Amazon Prime for free. So, I mean, what do you got to lose?
Nope.
I think it's worth it because you're not going to find it on VHS. I think you can find it now, definitely on DVD. It might even be on Blu-ray now, but I don't know. It basically was unknown to an American audience for 20 years, and now it's out there floating around, so it's worth a watch if you're really into cheesy bad stuff.
Yeah, definitely an Aussie gift. And also, I wonder what Kylie Minogue thinks of this.
Oh, imagine if she would have had a cameo in it.
Oh, I would have probably cried a little bit.
Yeah, you probably would have, and then fallen asleep.
Yep.
So that's this episode. Join us again next week. If you like what you hear and you want to support us, one of the best things you can do is give us a little rating on iTunes. That
Please
helps us kind
do
of go
that.
Up.
Yeah, it's big.
And you can follow us on iTunes, on Spotify, on Podbean, on a couple other places. You can follow us on Instagram. That's, you know, the social media platform that we're active on at Laser Graves. You can even send us, like, if you want to ask us messages or, you know, like ask us questions or anything, you can... you can contact us, DM us through our Instagram site.
Mm-hmm.
We have personal sites on Instagram as well that you can follow. I'm at death at 33 RPM. And
I am at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And that's where you can follow us. So thanks again for listening. And I don't know, go out there and put your wig on and sing a musical in honor of Vicious Lips.
Okay.
And... that's that.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.